in this prayer, Bhakti Vinod Thakur is relating the message of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The understanding of Lord Chaitanya is so deeply profound and sublime. The Supreme Lord descends from His abode in the mood of Sri Radha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. Krishna comes with the heart of His pleasure potency to personally distribute that love that is very, very difficult to attain, even by the greatest of the demigods in the Satya Yuga. Kali Yuga is conceived as the most worshipable of ages because the Lord's magnanimous mercy is most available to all at this time. Kali Yuga is a time of moral and spiritual emergency. Sometimes we find during emergencies there's much free giving. Like here in India, there's really not all that many places in the world that wants to help India. But when there was that earthquake in Gujarat or in Latur here in Maharashtra, every major country in the world was giving abundant charity because it was an emergency. Similarly, that great disaster that took place in Bhopal, in Madhya Pradesh, there were millions and millions of dollars and tens and thousands of people who were coming forward who would have never come forward to give freely because it was an emergency crisis. So when there's an emergency, there's attention coming from those who have to give freely. Kali Yuga is a time of emergency. The purpose of human life is specifically for self-realization. The greatest misfortune is for a person, a spirit soul, to finally come to the culmination of the evolution of the soul, entering into the human species of life, which is the junction by which, if we just make the right choice, we could be removed forever from the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease. We have the opportunity to enter into the eternal loving pastimes of the all-attractive, supreme, merciful Lord of our hearts. To not take that opportunity, to waste our valuable time, is the greatest tragedy. When there is a physical tragedy or a psychological tragedy, it often makes the front page of newspapers. Somebody dies in a car crash, or somebody loses everything. So many tragedies are there in the newspaper. In fact, that's usually what the news is about. Danger and tragedy. It brings about great attention. But the greatest tragedy, according to God's newspapers, the scriptures, is for a human being to live and die without understanding the eternal self. That is a tragedy. To have something so great and to neglect it, waste it, and lose it. Death comes inevitably to everyone on the physical plane. But between birth and death, what do we do with our life? That is what is most important. So in this emergency, where practically the entire human population is addicted to materialistic ways, polluting their minds, polluting other people, polluting the ecology, the environment, polluting everything. It's an emergency. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this age of Kali comes with the greatest charity, the holy names. In every Kali Yuga, the Yuga Avatar appears to do this most benevolent, munificent welfare work of distributing his holy name. Material existence is compared to a great, great forest fire. That's a tragedy. If the whole city's on fire, that's a crisis. The Lord comes to extinguish that fire with his holy names. Personally, delivering it, personally teaching us how to properly chant with the simple message: do not waste your days simply laboring hard for this dead body. The body doesn't have to die, it's already dead. It's the soul dwelling inside that is moving it. Your clothes are dead, but because you're inside your clothes are moving so nicely, like this. See? It doesn't go like this if I'm inside moving. So the body, vasamsijanani yathavihaya, Krishna says, the body is closed temporarily upon the soul. Do not waste your days simply maintaining a dead body. Waste your life simply sleeping and engaging in other types of sense gratification. Wake up, wake up! Jeev jago, Gaura Chandra bole, Kota Nitra Jayo Maya, Pisa Chira Kola. You're sleeping, you're sound asleep on the lap of Maya. Wake up! Waking up doesn't mean simply entering into a different type of dream. When we're in the night, we're dreaming that I'm in a lovely island in paradise with my family and we're having such nice time. And then you wake up and you enter into another dream that you're living in Bombay and it's time to go to work. There's a waking dream and a sleeping dream, but they're both dreams. The spirit soul is sleeping. The spirit soul is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. The spirit soul is part of Krishna. The spirit soul has an eternal identity in the spiritual world. But we are sleeping. That's our eternal nature. And that's our real fortune. So the Lord comes to wake us up with this Maha Mantra. The Lord personally descends to teach us the great value of this human form of life. Shukadeva Goswami, in second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he gives very, very strikingly appropriate analogies to what happens. What is the nature of persons who waste their lives? Do not the trees live long lives? We're very, very eager to try to somehow or other prolong our life as long as possible through exercise, health, nourishment, and whatever other means. If the idea of successful life is living long, human life is quite degraded in comparison to others. Sometimes people really, really glorify someone when they live till over 100 years old. In the West, there's nationwide television shows, and anyone who lives over 100, they do a little special feature about them. But actually, in America, Prabhupada saw, in Northern California, there are redwood trees. Some of them are 5, even 7,000 years old. They were around, just standing there, even before Krishna appeared in this world, 5,000 years. What history they've lived through. Why don't they do television shows about those trees? Somebody's 100 years old, here's somebody 5,000 years old. Sukadeva Goswami says, do not the trees live long lives? But what is the value of their life? What have they done for the world, and what have they done for their own eternal souls? Jesus Christ, 31 years. Saint Francis, another disciple, Saint Anthony, 39 years. And yet big, 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 gigantic cathedrals are built for them. All over. When I was in Italy, a place called Padua. It is the place of Saint Anthony. Gigantic cathedral. Unbelievable. And thousands of people come from all over the world to see, to offer their homage to him. They even have his tongue enshrined. Thousands of people go to see this shriveled up little tongue, because he never spoke prajalpa. His tongue has become so famous. Who wants to see your tongue besides the doctor? You have to pay him to see it. These people are paying to see it. And he only lived till 39 years old. Shankaracharya, 30 years old. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 48 years old. Shukadeva Goswami, he was only 16 years old when he is doing all this. And Prahlad Maharaj, we read about him when he was 5 years old. So successful life is not duration. Duration is meant for trees. Human life is meant for quality, for the characteristics we develop within our life, for the realizations that we achieve in our life. The perfection of human life is that we remember Lord Narayan, Lord Krishna, at the time of death, whenever it may come. Sukadeva Goswami says, do the bellows not breathe? If you have ever seen blacksmith, they have to fan the fire. They have bellows. They push them together and it goes. Have you seen? They really breathe. They can breathe stronger than the greatest yogi after practicing 80 years of pranayama. Huh? So powerful breath. But what is the use of their breathing? They're dead. They have no proper consciousness. The purpose of life is not breathing. The purpose of life is our consciousness. The bellows have no proper consciousness. They just breathe. And the animals, do they not have their abodes, their homes? Do they not create families of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren? Human life is not simply meant for that. Many people of human existence really think this is the most important sacred part of life. To have children. To have grandchildren. To have great-grandchildren. And then, obviously, by that time, it's time to leave for another destination. But even in your absence, your photo will be in the house for the great-great-grandchildren and the great-great-great-grandchildren and the great-great-great-great-grandchildren. And eventually somebody says, who is this person? And they give your photo away. Very well. But the animals have that. There's a higher purpose, Sukadeva Goswami explains. Svavidvaraho strakaraya shamshasha. Sukadeva says, men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Praise those people who do not develop an eagerness, a taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. With every rising and every setting of the sun, a person is one day closer to death. Save and accept that person who utilizes his or her time in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People look at the sunset and think, oh, how beautiful. And then the sunrise. Of course, most people sleep through it. But the people who are pious enough to get up at that time, oh, that sunrise is so beautiful. You can actually look directly at the sun as it's rising in such luminous colors. Some of us went to Kanyakumari, Cape Comorin, to watch the sunset. Beautiful sunset there. The sun is so big. So big. It looks like it's so close you can just pick it up. And it's going down into the ocean. It's magnificent. Incredible sunset. And hundreds of people go to that point at the very tip of India to watch that sunset. And as the sun is going deeper and deeper into the ocean, when it finally disappears, people are literally intoxicated. They cry out, Surya Dev Ki Jai! People go all the way down to that place just to watch the sunset. It's beautiful. However, the reality is, every sunset and every sunrise is material nature specifically telling you,
Prabhu, Mataji, you are one day closer to death. I'm coming for you in the form of time, and I'm coming closer, and every sunset closer and closer.
But for those who utilize their time to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to the eternal abode of the Supreme Lord. That's something beautiful. Then we could really, from the core of our hearts, cry out, Surya Dev Ki!
Jai!
Thank you, thank you. Shukadeva Goswami says, those ears, the holes of the ears, that do not hear the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are to be considered likened snake holes. We were reading about snake holes this morning in Srimad Bhagavatam. Try to carefully meditate on this analogy. What Sukadev Goswami is speaking is sublime with such deep meaning. Those who do not use the holes of their ears for hearing the ambrosial nectar of the glories of the Lord, their ear holes are compared to snake holes. A snake hole is a hole in the ground that the venomous serpents take shelter in. Srila Prabhupada explains in one beautiful lecture what is prajalpa. Prajalpa means to speak about subjects that are not at all related to Krishna consciousness, that are not favorable to the liberation of the soul. Prajalpa tastes like nectar to conditioned souls. They love it. Bhagavatam explains that a devotee is like honeybee, only interested in going to the center of a flower to drink the nectarine pollen. He'll just go flower to flower, just tasting nectar. And anything else around, he's not concerned with. But a person who is materialistically entangled is like fly. Goes from stool to suck the sweet juice. If you have a perfectly healthy body and you have one little millimeter of an infection, where will the fly go? Huh? The fly won't glorify, oh, such a nice body. He'll just go right to that infection and suck the nectar. Yes? So Prabhupada explains that when we speak idle gossip, when we speak subjects that are unrelated to the ideal of human life, and when we hear those subjects, what is happening? We're simply draining our very life out of us. All of our inclinations to Krishna are just being poisoned. like a serpent. Serpent is poisonous. Gossip, idle, blasphemy and criticism of others, and various other such unnecessary subjects, when we hear them, we're just allowing the venomous snake of ignorance to enter into our ears, the holes of our ears, then our ears simply become snake holes. And then that snake, through our ears, makes his residence in our hearts. Snake represents death, does it not? If there's any symbol of death within the world, it is the serpent. When we let that serpent enter into the holes of our ears and make that his residence, that means we are calling death closer. Then Sukadeva Goswami says, that tongue that does not chant the names and the glories of the Supreme Lord is like the tongue of frog. Now Prabhupada explains the psychology of frogs. It's very important to understand. The frog croaks. How do frogs sound? Everybody give your conception of the sound of a frog. When I say three, one, two, three. Louder, louder. Everybody, everybody. Very sweet, very sweet. So the frog is doing this croaking. And the frog is actually thinking, such a sweet voice I have. So sweet is my voice. And I am singing such eloquent poetry. What female frog will not be attracted after hearing my beautiful voice? My poetic compositions. The frog is thinking like that. The frog is very egoistic about his and actually other frogs really think it's beautiful. But what's actually happening, although the frog is trying to attract people, frog people, to his glories, there's only one person that's really interested in his quack, quack, the snake. The snake represents death. Because you see, snakes, their favorite food is frogs. And at night, it's very difficult for snakes to find frogs. Because they can't, like, get up and look around. They're just down there in the grass. They can't get off their bellies hardly. They're just slithering around, just trying to find frogs. Where's the frog? Where is the frog? He's desperate for frog. Where's the frog? Frog, where are you? That's the psychology of snake. And the frog is going, wah, wah. And the translation in snake language of wah, wah is, here I am. That's how the super soul is translating for him. And then, oh, there he is. Psh, finished. So those who use their tongues not for the glorification of the Lord, they're just vibrating so many sounds that is just calling death closer. As Srila Prabhupada was explaining, when we speak unnecessary subjects, our devotion and our very life is just going out through the sound vibrations, just being drained out of our consciousness, out of our heart. We're losing everything virtuous within us when we speak improperly. But we're so addicted to speaking. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said the tongue is the most difficult of all the senses to control. To control our eating is hard, but to control our speaking is very, very difficult. People just want to speak. The tongue just can't control itself. We must experience the higher taste. When we experience the higher taste of the names and glories of the Lord, then even when you speak prajalpa, you feel just contaminated. Why did I say that? And gradually you just utilize your precious time to speak the glories of the Lord. We were explaining that story in Puri of little Gopal. He was 5 years old. He was such a sincere devotee. He was a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya when he was living in Jagannath Puri Dham. So there was one man. This man was constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. He never spoke faults of others. He only saw the good in others, never looked at the faults of others. And because of his humility, his tolerance, and his respectful nature, he was empowered with the opportunity to constantly be chanting the holy names. He was just chanting and chanting and chanting. He was tasting nectar of the holy name. He couldn't stop chanting. His tongue just became like the stringed instrument in which Krishna was just revealing him his all-munificent form to the world in the form of his name. The nectar of the holy name is so sweet, but you can never get enough of it. Although you're fully satiated, you're unsatiated, because it's ever increasing. Therefore, you must always chant more and more and more. This person couldn't stop his tongue from vibrating the holy name. So one day, little Gopal saw him. He was going to respond to the urges of nature. So he had a lota and gumsha, and he was going to perform his bodily functions. With one of his hands, his right hand, he was somehow or other trying to control his tongue from chanting. But he wouldn't stop chanting. His tongue just couldn't give up this chanting of the holy names. His tongue was going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he was going to the bathroom. So he was trying to refrain himself. He was holding his tongue with his hand. And his tongue went, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He couldn't stop chanting. How many of you have that problem?
It's a serious problem. Our problem is we can't chant. Even during japa, Hare Krishna, and our mind is... But because he was actually tasting Krishna in his name, he couldn't stop chanting. He was helplessly trying to hold his tongue from chanting the holy name so he could pass stool. So Gopal looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" "I'm going to the bathroom. I can't be going to the bathroom while chanting the holy names. The holy name is none different than Krishna. Going to the bathroom means I'm in a dirty condition, in a dirty place. I can't let Krishna be there." Gopal said, "Lord Chaitanya has taught us that there are no hard and fast rules in the chanting of the holy names. The holy name is the most munificent, most merciful aspect of the absolute truth. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Vasvigraha. There is no difference between Krishna's name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his associates, and his abode. They are all within the holy name simply by chanting all of the aspects of Krishna are revealed to us from within our hearts. That is the power of the holy name. The holy name is none different than the deity. But how merciful is the holy name? To do deity worship, you have to have Brahman initiation, you have to have Brahminical qualities, you have to take bath, you have to perform achman, you have to do all kinds of purifications before even approaching the deity. But the holy name in any situation, at any time, anywhere we may be, Krishna reciprocates gladly if you sincerely cry out his name." Besides that, what if you die while you're going to the bathroom? If you're not chanting the holy name, your human life will be wasted and death could come at any moment. Therefore, one should always chant the holy names. This is the message of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu in all times, in all places, is everywhere, whoever you're with, loudly chant the holy name. So he was very happy. He let go of his tongue and let it go on chanting. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased by him, he gave him the name Gopal Guru. Because he was Guru, he was teaching properly the glories of the holy name. This little 5-year-old boy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared to be Guru. One of the most prominent acharyas of our Gaudiya Sampradaya is Gopal Guru Goswami. So unless we experience the higher taste, unless we systematically practice in proper association, hearing and chanting the names and glories of the Lord, then the tongue vibrates, calling the death of snake closer, the snake of death closer and closer. Srila Prabhupada said, sometimes when the guru sees the disciple just can't give up speaking nonsense, he tells him to take vow of Moni Baba. You have seen Moni Baba? They take vows not to speak, sometimes for years at a time. But I have met Moni Babas. They will not speak. But they have a little piece of a blackboard in chalk. And they'll write down all nonsense. Sometimes I have seen. They'll write down all prajalpa. But somehow or other, they have to get it out. It's such a propensity.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what is the most important of the 9 processes of devotional service? Lord Chaitanya said, to chant the holy names. Simply vibrating our tongue in the right way, we are inviting Sri Sri Radha and Krishna to accept the offering of our life as theirs. But when a human being utilizes his tongue not for that purpose, then his sounds are like the croaking of frog. Calling the snake of death to devour. Shukadeva Goswami says that the head that does not bow down before the Lord, even if it is ornamented with a beautiful turban or heavy bejeweled crown, the head is simply a burden. The crown and the turban is simply a burden. What does that mean? People strive for opulences, for fame, prestige, wealth, property, facilities, ornaments, education, beauty. All of these aspects are like jewels on the crown of your life. But the heavier your crown is, the faster you sink in the ocean of birth and death. So whatever we have in our life, it is all just a burden if our head is not humbly bowing down before the Lord. Now, what does bowing down mean? It's not just a matter of a physical exercise. Whatever we do in our life, the substance is our intention, our purpose. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that the Lord accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. He doesn't accept the thing. He accepts the purpose in which the thing is offered, whatever it may be. A very proud and wealthy person like Duryodhana, he made an extravagant feast of elegant food in a beautiful palace to offer to Krishna. But he did not accept it because of his pride. The feast was there, but his purpose was not one of humility and devotion. Suklambar Brahmachari, he just had old bagged chipped rice in his little satchel that he carried on his shoulders. He didn't even offer it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just called him and plunged his hand in Suklambar's beggar bag and just took the rice handful after handful after handful, eating it in ecstasy. The Lord tastes the purpose, the devotion. We were describing this morning, Yashoda Mai. So many ladies have milk coming out of their breasts when they have a child. But why does Krishna so eager to drink that milk? because it's offered with pure, ecstatic, intense desire to please Krishna. As a mother. So whatever we do, we should understand the substance of what we do is our purpose, our intention, our ideal. We are not simply ritualistic. The rituals of Krishna consciousness are necessary. Why are they necessary? Because they give us a framework, a form, by which in this world we can actually use that ritual as a vehicle to offer our intentions to God. But it is the purpose that matters. When we bow before the deity, when we bow before Guru Maharaj, when we bow before the Vaishnavas, what is in our heart? Are we just doing it as a ritual? Are we just doing it because everyone else is doing it? That's better than not doing it. But what attracts Krishna's attention is when we are actually humbling ourselves. That's what bowing down represents. A total humbling of oneself before a superior. When you're doing dandavat, prostrated obeisances, you're literally laying your entire body in the dust of the feet of that person, offering your life to the person. That's really what dandavats is about. The lowest part of your body is the feet. I'm putting my head in the dust of your feet. It's a mood of honoring, worshipping in humility. People today want to declare that they are God. But a devotee eternally wants to keep his head at the feet of the Lord. And higher than that is to keep your head at the feet of those who have their head at the feet of the Lord. Uddhava. Uddhava was Krishna's dearest associate in Mathura. He was so dear that Krishna wanted to teach him what is the purest devotion. So he sent him to Brajbhumi. There he met gopas and gopis. When he saw the intense absorption that they had in Krishna, day and night, weeping and separation, Uddhava simply wanted to get the... He just wanted to keep his head always under the feet of the gopis. So he prayed. He prayed for the benediction that he could be a creeper laying in the ground in Brajbhumi so the gopis will step on his head with their feet. That is humility. That is the sign of greatness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in regard to Keshav Kashmiri, he told his classmates that this man is so proud. He keeps his head up, riding on big decorated elephants with Brahmins chanting his glories and bands singing his praise. A great person who has virtues is like a tree that is laden with ripened fruits. If a tree has good fruits, the heaviness of those fruits cause the tree to bow its head to everyone and everything as they're going by. The tree just keeps its head always bowed down by the weight of its fruits. Similarly, a man with real virtues always has his head bowed down in humility due to the weight of his good qualities. But a tree that has no fruit keeps its head very high up. And similarly, a man who has no spiritual characteristic is very proud.
So that head does not bow down before the Lord with humility, accepting the role of servant from the heart. However nicely decorated that head is, the head is simply a burden. And hands. Hands that are, even though with beautiful bracelets and bangles, if it's not engaged in the loving service of the Lord, then they're considered to be the hands of a dead man. We have these hands. How many wonderful things we can do for Krishna with our hands. At the same time, how many temptations Maya is offering to utilize our hands. Real life is in relation with the Lord. When we are not acting in relationship to the Lord, then the very purpose of our human existence is dead. Shukadeva Goswami carries on. The eyes that do not see the beautiful form of Sri Radha Gopinath, Radha Ras Bihari, Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Madhav, Radha Giridhari. Those eyes that are not looking for opportunities to serve. They have no more purpose than the printed eyes on the feather of peacock. They're very beautiful. The eyes on the feather of peacock are so beautiful. So beautiful. But what do they see? They don't see anything. They have no power to see. So ladies today are oftentimes very, very much attentive to make their eyes very beautiful and lotus-like. They spend so much money putting mascaras and kajal and eyelash, making them very nice and big and like that. So many things. When I was a little boy, I would sometimes watch my mother. She would just put so many things in her eyes to make them somehow look attractive. So people do like that. But no matter what you do for your eyes, they are never going to be as colorful as the eye of a peacock feather. Whether you put the kajal on your eyes or don't put the kajal on your eyes, the question is, what are you doing with your eyes? If you're using the eyes to see the beautiful form of the Lord, then Krishna, through your eyes, is entering into your heart. If not, the eyes have no purpose. There's no benefit of seeing. You're not really seeing anything if you're not seeing Krishna. And those legs that do not go to the holy places of pilgrimage. Place of pilgrimage means Vrindavan Dham, Mayapur Dham, Jagannath Puri Dham, Ayodhya Dham. All these great holy places. But holy place, the temple of the Lord where the glories of the Lord are being heard and chanted, that is a holy place of pilgrimage. The legs that do not carry us to holy places are compared to the trunks of trees. Now the trunk of a tree is the leg of a tree. Very strong legs. Very powerful legs. Have you ever met anyone that has legs as strong, as powerful as a tree trunk leg? They have the best legs from the material point of view of strength. How long can you stand up without getting tired? Your legs are not very good.
But a tree could stand for hundreds of years and the legs are never tired.
Many good legs.
But the question is, the purpose of legs is to take you to a destination. Where are the trees going? They have legs, the best legs, materially, but the legs don't take them anywhere. So similarly, however good our legs may be, if they're not taking us to the places where the Lord's being worshipped, then we are getting nowhere in life like the tree. We have this human body, such a precious gift. Shukadeva Goswami says that if the body is not covered with the dust of the feet of great souls, then it is to be understood that our body is no better than a dead corpse. Prahlad Maharaj said same thing in his prayers to Lord Narasimha. Actually, his instructions to Hiranyakashipu, his father. Prahlad Maharaj said to his father, Hiranyakashipu, a person who is materialistically entangled in this world can never, ever, ever, by any means, attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna unless that person performs an abhishek, bathes his body with the dust of the feet of those devotees who have no material ambitions. What do we mean when we speak of dust of the feet of a devotee? The dust of the feet of the devotee indicates service to the devotee. We hear the story of Kalidas. He would get the dust of the feet and the remnants of each devotee by serving them. He would get the dust through service. It's such a humble position. Bathing your body with the dust of the feet of the devotees, that means the highest part of your body is at the lowest part of that devotee's body. Not even the feet, the dust is underneath the feet. That is our goal. That means to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared, this is the greatest aspiration for all living beings. Gopi Bhartur Patakamalayor Das 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 Anudas. If you want to actually approach the Lord of Gopis, Gopi Bhartur, this is the process. If we are proud, if we think we're learned, we cannot approach the mood of the gopis or the Lord of the gopis. It is only through service to the servants. Gopinath is Prayojanamurti of our Sampradaya. Madan Mohan is Sambandha Murti. We establish our relationship with Krishna by worshipping Madan Mohan, and he will attract our hearts away from the temptations of Cupid because he is the supreme Cupid. Then we enter into the worship of Govinda Dev, the Abhideya Murti. Through Govinda Dev, we engage in active loving service to the Lord with deep attachment. And through this purification, we ultimately come to the highest of all deities, Gopinath, the Prayojanamurti, who reveals to us the pure ecstatic love of gopis within our hearts. You don't approach the leela of Radha and Krishna simply by hearing about their esoteric divine pastimes of Madhurya Ras. You can hear, but what will you realize? What will you understand? What will actually go from your theoretical mind into your heart? The real process is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Unless we have this attitude of servitude, we can't really assimilate bhakti. It is the very essence of our constitutional position. We want to exploit. We're proud. We must somehow or other counteract that tendency by being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. This is how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to approach the highest aspect of the Absolute Truth, through service. He could have said, Madan Mohan Pada Kamalayora Das Das Anudas. Or Madhusudan Pada Kamalayora Das Das Anudas. Or Govinda Dev Pada Kamalayora Das 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 Anudas. No. He chose specifically the highest aspect of Krishna's Madhurya Ras of Vrindavan. Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayora Das Das Anudas. This is the way to approach the Lord. Trinarapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana. Amanina manatena kirtaniya satahari. Humility like the grass in the street. Tolerance like tree. Eagerness to offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. In this way we can approach the Lord. Through this spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant. Who has so mercifully appeared within His holy name. This ideal of servant of the servant of the servant is so sacred. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated it in his own life and through the glories of his devotees. The Acharya of the Yuga Dharma is Haridas Thakur. He would chant 192 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, 108 beads every day, minimum. 300,000 names. The Lord wanted to reveal to the world through His devotee, what qualification, what aspiration we have to have so that we could chant the holy name with such love. During Sat Praharya Lila, where the Lord entered into the bhava of Sri Krishna, to fulfill all the desires of his devotees at the house of Srivas, he called Thakur Haridas. The Lord loves to glorify his devotees. The Lord loves to serve his devotees. There is no greater pleasure for the Lord than serving His devotees. How we should be eager to serve the devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying Haridas Thakur with so much ecstatic love. He was broadcasting it amongst all the Vaishnavas. He said, Haridas, you never see faults in others. You only see good. So humble, so tolerant, so much love. You were preaching the glories of the holy name, and you were sentenced to death by being beaten in 22 marketplaces. As they were beating you, I could not tolerate this. I always protect my devotee. I descended with my Sudarshan Chakra to kill those demons. But you only saw good in them. From the heart of hearts, you were praying for me to forgive them. Although they were blaspheming you, torturing you with the intent to kill you. The power of your love for them was so great that my Sudarshan Chakra became powerless. Therefore, I personally descended and laid my body on top of yours in a way that nobody could see, to take all the beatings upon myself. And when he revealed those brutal bruises upon his own body, Haridas Thakur fainted. There was no sign of life. Until Lord Chaitanya said, "Rise, Haridas, rise!" Thakur Haridas came up, looked upon the Lord as the Lord was revealing His divine supreme opulences before the eyes of His devotee. Srila Haridas Thakur, with great humility, offered prayers. "I am so fallen, my Lord. I am unseeable and untouchable. I am so sinful that anyone who comes near me, sees me, touches me, or associates with me becomes contaminated by my sins. I am so unfortunate. But you, my Lord, you never abandon anyone if they remember you with sincere devotion. Even a worm or an insect, if they remember you, you will never abandon them. But I am so unfortunate that I never remember you. I cannot remember you. Worm or insect or anyone else, you will elevate if they remember you. But even the greatest, wealthiest, most powerful kings, if they do not remember you, you will push them down." Draupadi was a helpless woman. Dushasana, Duryodhana, these great powerful Kshatriyas, they were trying to pull her sari off. But Draupadi remembered you. You did not abandon her. You appeared as endless cloth to save her integrity. Parvati was about to be eaten by witches. She remembered you. And you appeared and destroyed all the witches to protect her. Prahlad Maharaj was thrown amongst snakes. His father, Hiranyakashipu, attempted to kill him with poison, with stones, with water, with fire, with deadly weapons. But he remembered you. And you were there to protect him and uplift him. "But I am so unfortunate, my Lord. I have no power to remember you." The Pandavas, Durvasa Muni was sent just after Draupadi had already served out all the food in her pot. He came with tens and thousands of disciples for prasad.
Very dangerous situation. When Yudhisthira Maharaj saw Durvas Muni and all of his tens and thousands of followers hungrier than anything, saying, King Yudhisthira, give me prasad. There was nothing to give them. Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, Draupadi, there was nothing they could do. They had no boga in the house. They were living in the forest. The only thing they could do is remember you, my Lord. And simply by remembering you, you appeared. And you somehow or other found one little speck. Little speck of vegetable on the bottom of the pot that they didn't even see. And you ate that and saved their lives. Durvas Muni and his disciples, while bathing in the Jamuna, because you had eaten that speck, their bellies became intolerably swollen due to the feeling that they had eaten so much. And out of fear, they ran away. Ajamil. Ajamil was addicted to so many sins. But at the time of death, by chanting his son's name, he remembered you. And you chased the Yamadutas away and gave salvation to his soul. This is the power of those who remember you, my Lord. But I am so unfortunate. I simply cannot remember you. My Lord, I beg one boon from you. Although I am so unfortunate, so sinful, I beg one benediction. It is the one desire in my heart. Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He said, you ask for anything. Whatever you ask will be given to you. Ask. What a wonderful opportunity. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is standing before you with all of his opulences, and he's offering any benediction in all the material and spiritual worlds to you. Haridas Thakur only had one desire. He said, my Lord, grant me this boon. That birth after birth after birth, I will be granted the remnants of the food that has been eaten by your servants. My long desire is that I forever worship the remnants of food that had been eaten by your devotees. Let that be my worship. Let me even be a dog or an insect in the house of your devotees so that I could get the remnants of what they have eaten. Then Haridas Thakur actually felt guilty. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in this way. He felt ashamed that he was asking for something so high as that.
What right do I have to ask for such an ultimate benediction? I have no qualification. How shameful he felt asking for something so exalted that he had no qualification to receive. That is the extent that Haridas Thakur honored the Vaishnavas. He said, "My Lord, my heart is so offensive that I think myself to be so important. In fact, I have this offensive desire in my heart. I want to be seen as a very important person. But my desire is that ultimately I can simply be a dog outside the house of your devotee." Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed in the same way. "Tumi to Thakur tomara kukur boliya jana ho more." "Tumi to Thakur tomara kukur boliya jana ho more." "Tumi to Thakur tomara kukur boliya jana ho more." "My Lord, you are my worshipable Lord. You are my Thakurji. Please consider me your dog." Haridas Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a very deep connection. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur retired from his family and occupational duties, he took the vow of Paramhamsa Babaji and resided at Jagannath Puri, right across from Srila Haridas Thakur's Samadhi Mandir. And there he immersed himself in divine remembrance of the Supreme Lord and the constant chanting of the holy names. He wrote that beautiful poem and inscribed near the Samadhi Mandir of Haridas that illustrious verse. "He reasons ill that say that Vaishnavas die, for thou art living still and sound. Vaishnavas die to live, and live to spread the holy name around."
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Hare. Haridas concluded, "Let me just be a dog near the home of your devotee." Lord Chaitanya was so pleased, with tears in his eyes, to hear the humility of Haridas. Lord Chaitanya said, "Anyone who has faith in you has faith in me. Anyone who does not have faith in you does not really have faith in me. Whoever sees you, whoever associates with you, whoever hears your glory will become purified and very dear
to me.
Lord Chaitanya said something so esoteric and sublime. He told Haridas Thakur that by your humility and love, I have become a prisoner within your heart. I am imprisoned within your heart. Cannot escape. No one can make the Lord a prisoner, save and except through unconditional love. Yashoda Mai, she made Krishna a prisoner. She bound him with the rope of her love. And he actually couldn't escape. He could pull the rope and the grinding mortar, but he couldn't untie it. You may say, if the Lord can do anything, and he's unlimited, then how is it he can't do something, like untie the knot? That puts a limitation on him. But for a Vaishnav, he understands that the Lord's lila is beyond mundane logic. The fact that he can't untie the knot makes him more unlimited than if he can. He can do anything. There's no limit. If you say that he's unlimited, so he can do anything, so he can untie the knot, then he's unlimited. Then we say to you, if he's unlimited, then he can also not be able to untie the knot. How can you say he can't not be able to untie the knot? That's putting a limitation on him. Krishna can do anything. He can, but by his own free will, he cannot. Why? Because he, by his own sweet desire, becomes subordinate to the love of his devotees. He becomes a prisoner within the heart of his devotees. And there's no more ecstatic place for the Lord to reside than in the prison of his devotees' hearts. For there he will forever perform his eternal pastimes. Thus he is Bhakta Vatsal. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the boon to Haridas Thakur. He knew what was in the core of Haridas's heart, and he revealed to the world Haridas's heart and gave him the benediction that forever, for the rest of eternity, you will never commit any offenses. And you will always be engaged in my service and the service of the Vaishnavas. Servant of the servant of the servant. Shall we continue? Are you sure? Because prasad is ready. We will take vote. How many want to take prasad? Now. How many want to continue? I am a prisoner of your desire. Shukadev Goswami has said, the body that does not cover itself with the dust of the feet of the devotees is like a dead corpse. Another illustration. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he met Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswami in Ramkeli, he was returning to Jagannath Puri. He came to Kumarhatta. Do you remember during our last Mayapur Yatra, we went to Kumarhat? Next year we'll go to Mayapur for our Yatra. This year we'll go to Vrindavan. They are non-different. The same train of devotional service will take you to both places. The Harinam Express. So, Srivas Thakur, after Lord Gauranga accepted sannyas ashram and left Navadvip, Srivas could not remain there. To see all the places of the Leela of the Lord, but no Lord, too painful. So he and his family members shifted to Kumarahatta. Lord Chaitanya, without any advance notice, just appeared at Srivas's house. How blissful was Srivas Thakur. He and his whole family bowed their heads at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and the Lord embraced them. Then the word spread that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come. So two great Vaishnavas appeared, Shivananda Sen and Vasudev Dutt. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he was embracing with affection Vasudev Dutt. Why? Because Vasudev Dutt would never find faults with others. He only saw good in others. He loved the Lord, he loved the Vaishnavas, and he had such sincere compassion for all the fallen souls. He prayed to the Lord, "Let me suffer in hell forever by taking the sins of the karma of all the people of this universe and let them be liberated." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw Vasudev Dutt offering obeisances at his feet, Lord Chaitanya began to cry. And Vasudev Dutt was weeping in humility and love. It said, when Vasudev Dutt would weep in humility, what to speak of all human beings? Even stones and dry wood would weep. That was the power of his love. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of Vasudev Dutt's spirit of servant of the servant of the servant, he wanted to serve everyone. He wanted to give his life for the welfare of others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that my body, my very life, is Vasudev Dutt's property. I am his. Wherever he wants to sell me, I am sold. I say it again and again and again. Please believe without doubt that I am the property of Vasudev Dutt. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Srivas Pandit into a private place. And he asked him a question. He said, "Dear Srivas, how do you maintain such a large family? You never leave your house." Srivas Thakur, all day and night, with his brothers and his family, he would just do two things. He would hear and recite Srimad Bhagavatam and perform Sankirtan. That's all.
Harinam Sankirtan and Bhagavat Katha.
So for a grihastha with large family, does this seem impractical to you? It is impractical, unless you have the characteristics of Srivas Thakur. Should I describe? Lord Chaitanya said, you should go out to earn a living. You have to. You have this big family. You just stay home, Harikatha, Harikirtan. Srivas Thakur smiled and said, there is no need for me to have anything else. I will stay at home, hearing and chanting. So the Lord said, if that's your mentality, Srivas, then you should take sannyas. You're a grihastha. Srivas said, I have no qualification to take sannyas. I cannot take sannyas. Then Lord Chaitanya said, well, if you're not going to take sannyas, either work or at least go out and beg alms. How are you going to support your family? The Lord said, if nothing comes, how will you survive? He asked this question. Srivas Thakur answered the Lord's question. His answer was, 1, 2, 3. What was the answer? Louder, please. Lord Chaitanya said, I am very confused by this answer. I asked you a practical question and you're clapping your hands. What does this 1, 2, 3 mean? Srivas said, I take a solemn vow that if 3 times, 1, 2, 3, I have to fast due to insufficient food with my family, then I will bind my neck with a rope, tie it to a heavy jug, and drown myself in the river Ganga. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he screamed in ecstasy. He began to dance in joy and said, Srivas, because you have such faith in the mercy of the Lord, because you have such faith in Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name, I declare this, that even if there is so much poverty that Goddess Lakshmi has to beg door-to-door alms to survive, your home and family will always be supplied with abundant food and necessities. Do you not know the verse of Bhagavad Gita? Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupashate tesham nitya vyuktanam yogakshemam vaham yaham. For one who worships me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my eternal transcendental form, I will preserve what they have and I will carry what they lack. Srivas, you have no need to go anywhere because of your faith in the holy name of the Lord and the Srimad Bhagavatam. I declare my vow that your house will always be flourishing with prosperity, materially and spiritually. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then revealed the secret of his heart, that it is my greatest pleasure to
to be the servant of my servants. To be the servant of the servant of the servant. Then he turned to Srivas's brother, Ramai Pandit, and said, "You are so very dear to my life. I give you one order. Always engage in the service of your brother, Srivas, and you will attain the ultimate perfection of my association always."
It is described that Srivas Thakur and his brothers,
they never ever quarreled about anything, although they lived in the same house year after year after year.
Why? Because they loved each other. Why?
Why waste time with these mundane things?
Because their hearts were always united in glorifying Krishna. There was such deep eternal love amongst them. The Christians say, the family that prays together stays together. And considering in the Western world there's 70% divorce rate, we can understand that there's not much praying going on. But there's a higher thing. The family that dances together advances together.
Haribo.
This family that sings together clings together. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was most pleased with Ramai Pandit serving his brother, servant of servant. On the subject of Christian religion, that was one of the last messages of Lord Jesus Christ. Srila Prabhupada said he was a great Vaishnava. The last time he was meeting with his devotees before he was persecuted, he taught a very important lesson. They were all sitting down to take prasad together. And before the meal began, the Lord went to each of the devotees with a bowl and water to wash their feet, and then with the cloth that he was wearing on his body to dry their feet. Servant of the servant. Saint Peter, who was the leader, Pietro, he said, "My Lord, I cannot allow you to wash my feet." And Lord Jesus replied, "It is my desire. I want to show you that if I humble myself to perform such menial service to you, to all of you, how much you should humble yourself and render menial service to each other." Because he knew he was going to leave the world. And the real sanctity and continuity of his mission depended on that spirit of servant of the servant of the servant amongst each other. Srila Prabhupada would cook for his disciples. Sometimes he would clean up for his disciples. He would wash the dishes of his disciples at the beginning. He was doing every type of menial service. Showing them how to put on. He would put on their dhotis for them. He would put on their kopans for them. He even had to teach the women how to put on saris. Hari Bol. Because they didn't know in the Western world. Prabhupada accepted such humble, simple service to the devotees. Why? To teach us the very essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process of purification, the attitude of servitude. In serving, we attract the Lord. In exploiting, in trying to achieve things for our own personal interests, we repel the mercy of the Lord. It doesn't matter how eloquently we speak, how academically astute we may be, even in the scriptures. It doesn't matter how charismatic we may be in management or in personal relationships. Krishna doesn't see these external features. He sees our character, our ideal. Are we inspired with humility? Is our aspiration service? It is that content of purpose that the Lord receives and accepts in whatever we do or whatever we say. It is that content within the heart that the Lord blissfully, willingly becomes imprisoned by love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after leaving Kumarahatta, he went to Varahanagar. And there, he went to the home of one fortunate Brahmin who was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. He was reading about pure devotional service and the glories of bhakti. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy to hear that. He just cried out, "Read, read." And he went on reading. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Read, read." And he just read the same verse again. And Lord Chaitanya, "Read, read." Mahaprabhu became ecstatic hearing Bhagavatam. Tears flowed from his eyes. His hair stood on end. He began dancing. This is Lord Chaitanya's taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. He's dancing in ecstasy, falling to the ground, jumping up and dancing, "Read, read, read," howling in ecstasy as Srimad Bhagavatam is being spoken. He was dancing for 9 hours continuously as this person was reading that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, again and again and again, 9 hours. How many of us dance in uncontrollable ecstasy when we hear the verse of a Bhagavatam? That was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood, and that was his lesson to us. How much nectar is in Srimad Bhagavatam? It is the literary incarnation of Krishna himself. That is absorption, and how we should become absorbed. Finally, after 9 hours, the Lord controlled himself and embraced that Brahman and said, "I have never heard Srimad Bhagavatam read like you. Therefore, today I proclaim the name upon you, Bhagavat Acharya."
Then he entered into Jagannath Puri.
Shukadeva Goswami continues. He tells Maharaj Parikshit that that heart that does not melt in ecstasy upon hearing the names and glories of the Lord, that heart does not literally melt when chanting Krishna's names, is considered to be steel framed.
How many of you have steel framed hearts?
The power of the holy name. We just heard Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hearing the glories of devotional service went uncontrollably wild in ecstasy. Why? Because his heart was melted. The name is none different than Krishna. The spiritual world appears when the holy name is chanted with genuine humility and sincerity. With these steel-framed hearts, it is very much required that we regularly melt it with the holy name. We must carefully guard against the 10 offenses. We must take a vow and follow it carefully to chant the holy names every single day according to the directions of the spiritual master. Attentively chant, sincerely chant, crying out for Krishna's mercy. If one time we could chant the holy names with real humility, then the holy name will cause our heart to endlessly melt in love for Krishna. That is the ultimate goal of life. When the heart melts like soft butter, then makkhan chor will appear to steal our hearts. That is our aspiration in life.
Mama mano mandire rahani siddhi Krishna murari Sri Krishna murari. Mama mana mandire rahani siddhi Krishna murari Sri Krishna murari. Nama mana mandire rahani siddhi Krishna murari Sri Krishna murari.
This prayer that we're asking Krishna to enter into the temple of our hearts and accept the offerings of our life and our love. It is in this mood that we should chant the holy names, offering our hearts, offering our lives with humility and devotion to Krishna. Feeling ourselves helpless, like a child dependent on the nourishing mercy of the mother. With gratitude, Krishna has so kindly appeared in His name. We must chant the holy name with humility and gratitude, crying out for mercy, understanding my helpless condition, being bound by the modes of material nature, being crippled by the mind and the senses. When we can chant even one time with this sincere spirit, then the heart will melt. And Krishna will steal that heart. He is Hari. That is our only hope, that Hari will come and steal our minds, steal our hearts, and bring them to His eternal loving service. This is the opportunity we have in this human form of life. And life is uncertain. No one knows how long they will live, especially the way the world is today. One thing that is certain is there will be constant uncertainties in life. Yes? That is a certainty. We don't know what the next day will bring, nor do we know what the next moment will bring. Kamala dala jala jivana thala mala bajahun hari pada niti re. Everything in this world is like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. At any moment, it slips away, beyond our control. Our loved ones, our acquisitions, our life itself, it will slip away like that drop of water that has somehow or other found momentary residence on the lotus leaf. Shukadev Goswami wants to impress upon us how very vitally important it is that we seriously contemplate as a first priority in life the importance of this human life we have been awarded and the precious treasure that is available to us, and not to allow the witch of Maya to steal that away from us. In the association of devotees, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, eager to serve, there will be no obstacle we will not overcome in the path of perfection. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. With this meditation in our hearts, let us very enthusiastically perform Sankirtan of the holy names.